Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brayden Fajogo is an NFL defensive tackle, most recently with the Pittsburgh Steelers, also a 2019 national champion with LSU. He is on X at Brayden Fajogo. Brayden, what is happening, man? Good to talk with you.
Man, $188 million is happening, Jeez.
It is. Jeez. $47 million a year. Lap the field. $136 million guaranteed. Micah Parsons is now a Packer. I want to start here with you. Because you've been in locker rooms, you've seen reaction, you've seen trust fade from certain players within organizations. An ongoing conversation we've had is about the trust potentially fading with players around the league, with the Dallas Cowboys, with Jerry Jones. How much credence do you give to that conversation, having been in a locker room and seen things like this?
I've been in the locker room, G, and I'll tell you this. You can pout and you can cry all you want, but at the end of the day, when them checks come in, you're going to play football and you're going to keep the main thing, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, okay. All right, now, what do you think about this for the Packers? We'll start there. Packers obviously have Rashawn Gary. They don't have Kenny Clark anymore, but you have Devontae Wyatt. Luke Van Ness was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. What do you think about how much this sort of raises their ceiling? Do you feel, how much different do you feel about the Green Bay Packers having Micah Parsons on their side?
You know, more than Micah Parsons, this tells me the front office believes Green Bay is in a Super Bowl window right now. I think when you look at the run they've had with Jordan Love, Green Bay is at this point where they're like, hey, we're all in. Like, you know, we drafted receivers for Jordan Love this year. They went first round with Van Ness year prior. Like, they're, and then you go get Micah. You know, that just tells me that, you know, Green Bay believes they're in a Super Bowl window right now, and they can go do it.
Yeah. Do you buy it? Do you buy that they're in a Super Bowl window and they can go do it?
I do. You know how I feel about Jordan Love. I think he's a darn good quarterback. I think he can win a Super Bowl. And I think they're close. I'm a fan of Matt LaFleur. I think he's a great coach. I love how his system builds up on the offensive side of things. And, you know, they have a defensive anchor now. You know, I know for years prior, everything about Green Bay has been like, hey, how can we anchor that defense? You know, like years have passed with, you know, the McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers era where they had some dogs on that side of the ball. And, you know, you pair Micah with Rashawn and Van Ness and, you know, those guys there in Green Bay, you know, the sky's the limit. And I do buy Green Bay stock if that's what you're asking this year for a Super Bowl. I'd buy.
Now,
for sure.
Now,
I'd buy in the NFC to be safe.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to put you in an impossible position, climbing the head of Jerry Jones having made this trade today. Hey, you always try to find a method to the madness, right? What if you're trying to rationalize what has happened today? Micah to the Packers, Kenny Clark back to the Cowboys, two first round picks. Like, what do you think the plan is that Jerry has in mind? Not paying Micah at 26 years old, three All Pro teams in 4 years. Is there anything you can say that you have in mind with what happened today that can rationalize this?
Well, I'll say this. Until we get the official numbers of what Jerry offered, right, it's all going to be hearsay, she say. When Jerry sat down with Stephen A., quote unquote, Jerry said, we gave the offer and it was to make him the highest non-paid quarterback in the NFL. And you can do the numbers, you can do the comparisons. That's a pretty lucrative number. Now, from an owner's perspective, right, if I offer a guy market resetting money, and it obviously resets the market however way you want to see it, because Michael was bound to reset the market. If a guy doesn't want to take that deal, Gabe, right, because mm-hmm. of certain vocabulary and certain things in the contract that an agent doesn't like, then here's why I side with Jerry, right? I'm going to reset the market. I'm going to make you the face of the franchise. You're going to be the highest non-paid quarterback. If you still don't want to play for me, then I got to do what's right for the franchise, and that's finding you a home, somebody that will pay you, and then getting the right compensation for it. And I think it could have – I don't think it could have been resolved any better. I think if it dragged on into week one, which is coming upon us next week, you just get turmoil. Things get ugly. And, you know, the Cowboys, they're on as much pressure right now as anybody else about winning games. And so these are the kind of things you never want dragging into the regular season. And, you know, I just tweeted out. I said, I think it's a win-win for both parties. You know, Mike really? Gets multi-generational money and – you know, the Cowboys get two first-round picks. They get a damn good defensive tackle in Kenny Clark. And, you know, you save the amount of cap space. You know, with it doesn't help them that, you know, their quarterback is the highest cap quarterback right now in the NFL, right? And, you know, trading Micah sucks. You know, you traded the face of your defense, let alone you. However you look at it, it could be the face of your franchise if you see it as Dak or him. But you saved a lot of money. Now, who those first-round picks become, Gabe, that's who
– most important
where,
thing.
Where you're going to determine. Yeah, that's the most important thing. That's how you're going to determine who won this trade.
Yeah. Now, just on the surface, though, Braden, I know that comparisons don't always work out, and we'll see what Micah does in a Green Bay Packers uniform. If he does not play mm-hmm. up to standard, we can revisit this, but – Jamal Adams got two first-round picks when he was traded away from the Jets. Like, this compensation here. I played Kenny Clark when I was in college at UCLA. We had an absolute yeah. war my freshman year. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. I know how good of a player he is. But this compensation, yeah. do you really buy that this is enough? Do you really buy that this is the best they could do?
Now I'll correct you there for a little bit, right? I understand – the Jamal Adams two first-round picks for the Jets compensation. But don't get it twisted, man. There was once upon a time where Jamal Adams was a double-digit sack guy for the Jets.
I get you know? It. I get it.
You know, and at that time, at that point in time, Jamal Adams was a dude in the NFL. I get now, 6-7 years later, time has gone, or 5 years later, time has gone by. He was on the couch for a little bit. He's been cut from teams or whatever released, and he just found his way now, new position, linebacker, kind of fell off a little bit. But Jamal Adams, when Jamal Adams was Jamal Adams, was a damn good player, and two first-round picks at that time was justified for that trade. And I think that's justified for this trade. And on top of it, they got Kenny Clark. I'm a fan of Kenny Clark. I think he's a good player. I didn't get the name of the guy who tweeted on Twitter. He's like an NFL analyst or whatever. But he tweeted like Kenny Clark's like analytics, his run stopping percentage.
Yeah, it was Trevor Sikkema. I just talked about it. PFF.
You know, and I think that's total BS, man. I think numbers don't tell the full story. You ask any offensive line who's played against him. You ask anybody who studied Kenny Clark, man. He's a damn good player, and I think he shore up a lot of issues in that trade that the Dallas Cowboys were looking for. As far as interior defensive line, I think he's going to help Mozzie Smith in his sure. development. I think he's going to mesh well next to Solomon Thomas. And I think now, you know, you can just build around that. And I think, like I said, whoever those first round picks become, Gabe, that's when it's really going to determine, right? Like, you know, long term, did Jerry make the right move?
Listen, I rock with Kenny Clark and the Jamal Adams thing. I get it. But I just want to clarify here with Jamal Adams. When he was traded for two first-round picks, do you have any thought, like at that time, like was it Micah level? Was he a Micah level player at that time, in your opinion?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. All right. Yes. I don't know if I fully agree with that, but you're entitled to that opinion.
Now, here's what I'll say, right? It's hard because safeties and back-end players don't get the level of respect as far as like a dominance change the game perspective as an edge rusher will get, right? Now, you can have an incredibly insane amount of stats as a back-end player, right? But you can affect the game in so much more less plays and less statistics as an edge rusher, as a defensive lineman. You're held to a higher standard playing up front, right? Because you're around the ball. It doesn't make sense, right, that I'm holding Jamal Adams, prime Jamal Adams, and Micah Parsons in the same sense. But once upon a time, man, Jamal Adams was one of the best defensive players in this league.
Okay. So, in the end of the day, you don't seem to have the same issue as everybody else. You're not getting into the groupthink idea when it comes to the Cowboys executing this trade.
No, I'm not, because I like the trades they've made off season. I think the George Pickens trade is underrated. I think people are looking way over that trade. I think George Pickens is a darn good player. I played with the guy, pairing him with CD. Now, how the defense plays out this year
right.
will determine how far the Cowboys go. But, you know, I think the Cowboys are a good team. I think the division they're in, the East, I think it's going to be a tough one. But, you know, we got to get to week one and get to the playoffs and Super Bowl before everybody just starts getting overreactions over here and they call this the dead week in the NFL.
No, it is kind of funny because I do agree with you and think that Kenny Clark is kind of a piece that the Dallas Cowboys have needed for some years. A good defensive tackle, mm-hmm. a guy who could potentially stop the run, a guy who can playmake on the interior of that defensive line, because the Mozzie Smith thing hasn't worked out. They've tried a bunch of vets. Jonathan Hankins is one of them. It just hasn't quite been there, right? So, like, I mm-hmm. the type of player he is fits a need that they've had for years. But now it just feels like there's that gaping hole. That playmaking, do everything, edge, defender, TFLs, and havoc plays. It just feels like Kenny Clark was the perfect guy to have to pair with Micah, and now that's not a reality. That can never happen.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the thing of this league, Gabe, is it's a lucrative league, and it's always sometimes the best case scenarios don't always pan out for people. And so you're always looking at, all right, what can I do? You know you're losing a guy like Micah, who is the production, who is the stalwart, who is the game changer. You can't replace that, right? When you trade off a guy like that, I think a lot of people get it mistaken that they think, oh, we've got to go get the same type of caliber. But you're looking for what the production of how can this be made up? And that in that case, it's two first-round draft picks. A Kenny Clark. Now, who's to say Dallas, before the trade deadline is what, week 8, week 9, goes and flips those two first for another generational player, maybe on offense, maybe on defense. We don't know this stuff, right? We don't know the bigger picture of things until it's fully painted. And I think that it's crazy, right? It's just like the whole Luka thing, right? When Nico traded Luka. Look at what the Mavs did. They ended up getting Cooper flagged. Right? Like, you never know how
lucked
things
into
turn
it,
out,
though.
Man, until
1.8% chance, right?
But you know what? There's a chance, right? And you never know how things turn out until the picture is fully painted. And so I'm excited, man. I know they play week 4.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to seeing that game. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing Micah in a Green Bay jersey. I'm looking forward to seeing Dallas, how they come out. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, and we'll see who gets the last laugh.
Yeah. Now you live in Texas, in the Dallas area, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. How are fans going to react to this? They've already had a tough year with the Luka Doncic trade. I mean, this has got to feel like the seventh circle of hell for them at the moment.
The Mavericks ended up getting Cooper flagged, so you put a Band-Aid on a surgery a little bit. You kind of stop the bleeding. I mean, I think the only thing that kind of helps this is a good deep playoff run for the Cowboys.
Winning, right? Simply put, winning.
Winning solves, and that's the thing, Gabe, in any type of professional league, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, MLB, winning solves everything.
Yep, no doubt. All right, now, in other news, I saw you put this out on social media today. For those that need to go look at it and definitely go follow Braden, it's at Braden Fajoco on X. But this week was cut week, release week, roster cut down week for the National Football League, and you were part of that with the Pittsburgh Steelers. How tough is it truly? Like I know we lose the human element in a lot of ways because we follow these leagues from afar, but take me through your experience when you get cut and released. I think it's been seven times at this moment and all the other guys. Like take me through that process and what that entails.
You know, it's one of those things, man, where it's never fun losing a job, right? That's what's happening. You're getting fired from your job. And, more than anything, I always feel for the younger guys that are coming into the NFL because I've been very fortunate enough to play 6 years in the NFL and, just keep adding on years, keep adding on financial blessings that, I'll never see in this lifetime in this short amount of time. But for the younger guys, right, that come out of college, the tryout guys, the UDFAs, the rookies that, get invited to rookie minicamp, those guys that get cut and released, those are the guys you feel for because they never might get a chance to play this game again because of, not having a proper evaluation or not making it through the first year and being able to showcase what they can do, man. A lot of guys, their careers end before it ever gets started, and right. Those are the ones you really feel for. You know, the veterans like me who've been in it, man, like we know, right? Like, yeah, it sucks getting cut, but like we know we're going to get a call here soon just because we're veterans. Like we've played a lot of football in this league. You're bound to get a call, right? But at the end of the day, like there's going to come a time where you're not going to get called.
Right.
And that's for a lot of people in this league. You'd be very lucky to leave the NFL on your own terms. But, man, it's a tough time, especially mentally for a lot of people, that have grown up playing this game and this is all their identity has been for the last two decades is football. And, for somebody to tell them like, man, this is it. This is the end for you, and you don't know what's going to happen. As a man, you start to ask yourself, like, man, do I really want to do this? Or, do I go push a shopping cart and go get a 9-to-5? That's the tough questions that, people don't realize, man. A lot of guys are asking themselves today.
Now, diving into that identity thing, like, I think that is so lost. Like, when I got done at the University of Memphis, tried to do the NFL thing, didn't work. Tried to do the Alliance of American Football. That clearly didn't work out. But the identity part is such a big thing because you, for a decade to 15 years, however long you've been playing football, that's all you've done. Like you think that's your ticket and it's taken away and it's so hard. Like how have you, I know you're doing the media thing, you're doing the Twitch streaming. Like how have you navigated those waters?
I think one of the best things that helped me was whenever I gave my all to the game, whenever it was in college or the NFL, I always told myself that if this is it, if this is the last time I'm ever going to play the game again, can I be satisfied with the product? And also, Gabe, growing up, like I loved football. I enjoyed it. I always told myself I never wanted to limit myself, right? I whenever we had career day in school and the teacher asked, you always hear about it. What do you want to be when you grow up? I always said I wanted to be an NFL player. But I always took it seriously when, my mom and dad told me, hey, like, you're not always going to play in the NFL one day. Yeah. You got to figure out what you want to do in life. And having good parents and, a good household where you know what you want to do, get your degree. I'm very glad I stayed back in school and I didn't leave early. Those are things that I'm so grateful for, that I'm so grateful of the networking I was able to build in college. And, for a lot of these guys, the identity thing, like we talk about, Gabe, like you mentioned, it's tough because I get it, especially as an undrafted guy. When you're in the game, you want to put your focus and everything into the game. You're not worried about building networking or connections or all that. All you're worried about is my playbook and making this team. Mm-hmm. And I get it. So many guys are buried into that. And that's the hard part. That's the dark side of the identity crisis that not a lot of people realize is, you know, people talk about, well, you're in the NFL. There's so much networking. You know, you have the world at the palm of your hands. You know, you're stamped with the NFL emblem. Well, not a lot of young guys think about that. A lot of young guys are just trying to figure out how they're going to pay their bills playing football. And like I said, man, I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful I had good parents that, you know, helped me just develop a good foundation of understanding that, man, football's what I do, but it's not who I am.
Yep, for sure. All right, now, final thing for Braden Fehoko on X at Braden Fehoko. Make sure you go look at him on Twitch and follow all of his work on his X account. Big game for your alma mater, right? LSU, the Tigers, the Battle of Death Valley coming up this weekend on Saturday, 6:30, ABC at Clemson. How are you feeling about your squad heading into the year?
You know, we talked about it last time on the radio. I got some intel from a few good buddies of mine that are at LSU. The boys are ready. Word for word, that's what they said. They said the boys are ready. They're gonna get after Clemson. They got a good game plan. They said BK has been on their behind since camp started. And I'm expecting a big year out of LSU. I know that's a lot different tone from the last time I got on here and talked about them.
right.
I got on here last time and I said, oh, I'm cool with LSU going 8-4, 9-3, whatever, you know, going to the Outback Bowl. But from this last phone call I got, man, from some good sources over there at LSU, the boys are ready, and we're expecting a big year this year.
Yeah, and that game coming up on Saturday, I've talked about where it's going to be won. LSU offensive line needs to hold up against that Clemson defensive line because they are talented as hell. I mean, all four of those guys are NFL draft picks.
They're going to get drafted, indeed.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, Braden, great stuff, man. We'll do it again soon.
Always. Appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. He is Braden Fehoko at Braden Fehoko on X. Make sure you go follow him on X, of course, but Twitch as well. He's got a Twitch stream that he's doing, getting into the media space. Don't know if he's going to get another call before the season gets going or while the season gets going in the NFL, so that's what he's spending his time on, and he does great work over there. Braden has a different take on the Micah Parsons situation. It feels like a guy who's, you know, potentially waiting for a call in the NFL, but a guy who's seen trades get reacted to way too quickly and doesn't want to, you know, drive the final stake into the heart of Cowboys fans and Cowboys Nation. That's what that seems like. Doesn't want to jump to conclusions about winners and losers of trades. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I think one thing, though, for me in this deal is when you're looking at the value the Cowboys got back for Micah Parsons.
It's not enough.
They're saying two first-round picks. And if this was a trade with the team who was in the dumps and wasn't a contending team, those picks would be way more valuable. But we're talking about picks that are going to be in the high 20s.
Yeah.
To 30.
Well, but you could package them and go up.
Maybe. And you're already seeing some Cowboys fans say maybe this can lead to Arch Manning, which, listen. Dak's under contract. Isn't he the biggest cap?
He's the biggest cap hit in the NFL.
The biggest cap hit in the NFL. So I don't know. And I also understand that technically the Mavericks trade kind of worked out.
Yeah, but
the Mavericks.
It was all luck.
It was complete luck.
Yeah.
I think that this is mismanagement to a high degree by the Dallas Cowboys. You do not trade a player like Micah Parsons for the same thing that Jamal Adams got.
Yeah, and that's one thing I did push back on that I do not agree with. Jamal Adams at his peak, great player.
He was
all
great.
Pro player.
He wasn't Micah Parsons.
Unbelievable. He's not Micah Parsons level.
Just Micah wasn't. Parsons, and it's just, again, sports find a way to be poetic. He's doing things we haven't seen since Reggie White.
Yep. Yep. No doubt. No doubt.
I feel like that's all you need to say. And that's why I think we're both kind of in agreement. Kyren was too. The money just doesn't really matter to me here whatsoever, especially when the team he was traded away from was the Dallas Cowboys.
We can revisit this in a couple years if Micah stinks, but I don't foresee that in the slightest. I just don't see it. Now
it would have to be major injuries.
You pointed me in the direction of this. FanDuel Sportsbook has completely redid their NFC North odds.
Yes, the Packers
are now in front of you.
I don't have them in front of me.
Okay, the Packers are now the
quickly.
Favorite to win the NFC North, as I sort of said in the reaction to this trade off the top of the show.
Yeah, I'll be able to find them pretty quickly. Give me just one sec. Let's see here.
Lions are second, of course.
The Lions are second. Yep. Green Bay Packers are plus 165. The Lions are plus 190. The Vikings are plus 330. And the Bears are plus 600 now.
All pretty close,
on
though.
FanDuel
All pretty lumped up.
Well, that's why I think the NFC North was already
good. Great.
In competition for being the most fascinating division in football. Now, they are without a doubt, in my opinion, the one to keep an eye on the most. The Packers' odds to win the Super Bowl also jumped from plus 1,700 to plus 1,220. They are tied for the fifth best odds. They are only behind the Ravens, Bills, Eagles, and Chiefs.
All right, we'll go ahead and try to escape the Micah Parsons trade and the reaction to it. We'll get to a trip around the rest of the National Football League when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, go ahead and hit it. Trey Hendrickson was back at practice with the Bengals yesterday. And kind of interesting, when that happened, The Athletic and the Bengals reporter wrote an article explaining the process to get to where we are now. And where are we now? Well, the 2024 sack leader in Trey Hendrickson and second leading vote getter in Defensive Player of the Year from 2024 is owed $30 million this year with no long-term security, which is just strange in general, even though he will be 31. Here's what Paul Daner reported from The Athletic, of course, the Bengals reporter for The Athletic. The Bengals front office had no interest in 2026 Trey Hendrickson, period. Our league sources said that the Bengals offered 3 years and $95 million to Hendrickson, but there were no guarantees beyond the first year. The second year of the deal would only pay him $23 million with $39 million in what amounted to funny money for 2027. So they kept the guarantees down. In other words, the Bengals are betting on a fall off from Trey Hendrickson, who turns 31 in December. I don't know if I would fully bet on that. It's two straight years of 17 and a half sacks, 35 sacks over a two-year period, second in Defensive Player of the Year voting. I know that guys tend to slow down, especially in the National Football League, after 30, but I don't know. I've always been in the thought process, the mindset of pay the guys that produce, especially when you're in this window with Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, a wonderful offense. It just seems strange to me, but he will play this year, and we'll see what they do after that. The Titans named their captains, and okay. I need to ask your opinion on this, Connor. How many captains is fair to have? Like, realistically, for an NFL team, for a college football team, how many should you have?
Like four or five?
There's seven.
Oof.
Or six. Or no, seven. Seven. Jeffrey Simmons, Calvin Ridley, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, Morgan Fox. Shout out to Tony Pollard. He's a captain this year. And then Cam Ward. Cam Ward became a captain as a rookie. I personally think go offense. Go defense, get your captain on each on each side of the ball, and then special teams, get a captain in there, a kicker, long snapper, Morgan Cox, of course, we get that. But it's a lot. That's a whole lot. Now, Jeffrey Simmons has the gold captain star, so he is like the legit overwhelming captain.
Makes sense.
Makes a whole lot of sense. But Cam Ward, I don't know what this year is going to look like. I really don't. I don't believe him when he says he's got a top five wide receiver core in the National Football League. I don't think anyone believes that. But one thing that does just give me a lot of hope for the Titans franchise, especially at the quarterback position with Cam Ward going forward, is just the amount of trust he's already gotten from that roster. And it just seems like a guy, I mean, he's going with the rookie saying whoever gets in earliest, they're making bets and having fun with that. He just seems like a guy who has a full command of who he is and what he wants to do in a Titans uniform. Can't fully escape it. We can't fully escape the Micah Parsons saga with Jerry Jones, and now he's a Packer, Micah Parsons is. Week one projected starting defense for the Cowboys versus the Eagles. Their defensive end, Sam Williams from Ole Miss. He's been okay. And then Donovan Ezeraku, who they drafted not too long ago. Kenny Clark will start. Osa Odigizuwa will start. But it just leaves a lot to be desired. I go back to the stat I've referenced multiple times on the show today. When he's been on the field these 4 years, Micah Parsons for the Cowboys, their EPA per play is first in the NFL. When he's off the field, they're 32nd out of 32. They're just missing a whole lot. And, you know, how much of this Micah Parsons trade tells us, and I know it's hard to climb in the brain of Jerry Jones. It's nearly impossible, but how much should this tell us about his thought about this roster and Super Bowl contention and playoff contention? Because I think that tells a story as well, the fact that he probably does not think that this roster is Super Bowl ready. But he pays a lot of money for it. CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs, Dak Prescott. It's just a strange thing. Now, I'll get to this in a second with the Packers, so we'll save that. But also with the Cowboys, they've gotten some reaction from the rest of the roster star players on social media. Trayvon Diggs, their all-pro corner, just tweeted a broken heart. CeeDee Lamb went on Instagram and put a teary-eyed emoji. And then Kevontae Turpin, who's a wide receiver and returner for them, said, yeah, this league S is crazy. LOL. And I know we just talked to Braden Fajoco about like the reaction within a locker room, and his take was, you know, in the end of the day, once you get the checks and the checks clear, you're going to give your all out there. And I don't doubt that. But when it comes to premier players, Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, guys like that, I still think that there's a loss of trust. I don't think there's any other way to view this, right, Connor?
Yeah, and that's why I understand saying when those checks come through, that's all.
Because half your
matters.
Roster is usually operating on a minimum or somewhere around there.
But when contract negotiations come back around, or if their contract runs out, or if there's free agents out there looking for a new team, that's where I think it's going to impact the Cowboys, because you just can't trust them anymore. You can't trust that they're going to give you fair value. You know, there's rumors out there that Jerry was trying to float something like 5 years, $200 million. Yeah, which would be $40 million a year for Micah Parsons, but he wanted him to be under team control for the next few years. And, you know, when you have a defensive player like Micah Parsons, high physicality, there's no guarantee that you're getting another contract on the other end of that thing. And he also wanted to do it without an agent. And that is just something, if you are a free agent or a premier player in the NFL who knows it, you know that you're going to get a big contract eventually in the NFL because of the production that you have. I think that it makes you look differently at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. Now let's get to our next one. They have Micah Parsons now.
They have Micah Parsons. The youngest team in the NFL.
They
now,
were
now
already,
has
that's what I was going to mention.
A 26-year-old Micah Parsons.
They were the youngest team in the NFL already, but now they add a 26-year-old generational pass rusher. They have to feel really good about where they're at right now. I know that in a few years, if Micah Parsons has a decline in production and doesn't look the same in a Packers uniform, which I don't expect, we could look back at this contract and say that's ridiculous. I mean, it's nasty. But I'm of the opinion you take an opportunity like this. When you have an opportunity out there to bring in a player like Micah Parsons, you don't balk at it. You go for it, and it feels like the Green Bay Packers are doing that. And I love that you pointed out the poetic nature of this trade. You have a privately owned $12.7 billion valuation in a franchise that trades it to a publicly owned, the only publicly owned NFL franchise. And they're paying him the money that the most valuable team would not pay him. Like, I think that there's absolutely something to that. I just can't get over it, man. This is such a such an unbelievable breaking story. And I guess that I thought there was a chance he'd get traded. He requested one. I understand that. But are you like me? I never thought it would actually happen. You know what I mean? I never thought he'd actually do it.
I thought that there was a possibility they would work something out. After the Jerry Jones, Stephen A. Smith interview.
Yeah, where he's the mom and dad thing.
It was over. As soon as he started referring to him as a kid in the cookie jar, I was like, oh, this is over. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
It's a wrap. Because Jerry Jones kept saying that his happiness was the number one thing. And it's like, dude, no, it's not. It's just not. Mm-hmm.
It's winning. It's having a healthy franchise. And they don't have that right now. Also, shout out to the Green Bay Packers social team.
Tweet of the year.
Yellow post-it note, draft day, Kevin Costner, Micah Parsons, no matter what, is the picture they just posted.
I love it. So, what an offseason it's been for the Green Bay Packers.
Yep, and they're going to be looking for a ring, and you need to look for a ring as well at Robert Irwin Jewelers, the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings, because you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have an enormous collection and selection of natural and lab-grown diamonds, and they make custom designing your engagement ring risk-free and easy. You can bring in a drawing, a picture, they'll make it come to life. But on top of that, there's no dumb questions. They will handle business, and they're not going to make you feel pressured or anything like that. And you get peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee, even less pressure. You have 365 days to return your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 365 days. And there's a lot of things that could happen. I hope they don't happen to you. You guys could break up. You guys could want another ring. You have 365 days to bring it back for a refund, and you could figure it out. And then you have free ring sizing for life if you buy a diamond engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers. So if you gain weight, you lose weight, they'll handle that. Free jewelry spa service for life, and they always have great financing options. Ask her now and pay later with financing like 24-month deferred interest, or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Howie and his team have 4 decades of experience, and they've become the most trusted name in Memphis when it comes to buying your jewelry and your diamond engagement rings. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers are online at rijewelers.com. Let's go ahead and get to small talk on the other side right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, back to what we were originally going to talk about off the top of the show. We have a lot of college football going on
Surprise!
Right now. Week one is underway. We had a 4:30 start time, I guess a 5:30 start time there on the East Coast between Boise State and South Florida. Boise State is on the road. That game's underway. Second quarter, first half, only about 5:39 left. South Florida and Boise State have kind of been stuck in the mud offensively. There's been a couple of turnovers. It's been relatively ugly, but South Florida has taken a 10-7 lead with a really long run by Byron Brown on a scramble on a pass play. So there's that. And we have some pretty important group of five, group whatever you want to call it, group of six games tonight. That one, it feels like South Florida could really announce themselves against the favorite to get the group of six spot and slot in the college football playoff. And I think that if you're a Memphis fan, if you're a fan of the American Conference, you want South Florida to win that game because it does show a certain level of play that it takes to be the best group of six conference. If South Florida is able to win that game, of course they announce themselves, but I think they announce the American Conference before the Pac-12 becomes a Pac-12 next year as the continued premier conference in the group of six. And then you'll have NC State and ECU. This is a rematch from the bowl game last year. I believe it was the Military Bowl. ECU actually won that game 26-21. And ECU has Caton Hauser, who started that game. Did not play well in the Military Bowl. I think he had two picks, threw for like 149, but he's the transfer from Michigan State that they feel pretty good about. ECU has some returning production in the wide receiver room, so that should be a fun one to watch. The game I'm going to be paying real close attention to, though, is tonight, 8 p.m. ESPN. Nebraska on the road against Cincinnati. This is, to me, and I know we say this every year about Nebraska, and Matt Rhule, too. And they finally made it back to a bowl game last year. But this feels like the most important game to date for Nebraska under Matt Rhule. Cincinnati's not a good team under Scott Satterfield. Nebraska's on the road, 6.5-point favorites. Dylan Raiola going into year two. Dana Holgorsen as the OC. They did some good things last year with Dana, but now they've had a year and some change to get his entire playbook installed and to get it going. Feels like Nebraska needs to run away with this game and show some dominance and show that they could potentially be back, be an 8 or 9-win team, because that's what they've been building to. This game really intrigues me.
Yeah, and did you see what Raiola said this week about his comparisons to Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah,
he was like, I can't control what people see.
He said he had the hairdo before Patrick Mahomes too,
and the same glasses.
You can't really explain your way out of the glasses. But you know, apparently they're friends and they talk with each other,
sure,
and they conversate. Dylan Raiola is a very talented player.
Very talented.
I've seen some really good things from him so far. When I look at sort of young quarterbacks in college football that can really announce themselves, obviously you have Arch Manning, you have Julian Sain, you have Dante Moore. But Dylan Raiola is kind of the forgotten about name in that particular conversation. Maybe it's because he started a year and we've seen some from him and we feel pretty positively about him. But I don't see a whole bunch of positive talk about Dylan Raiola, who I thought looked pretty good in his freshman season.
Well, and when you look at their schedule this year, Nebraska, I think it's an opportunity for them to have that bounce back season, to get real momentum going for their program. Like, right now, they only have like two real tests.
They have a really easy schedule.
Their schedule's pretty damn easy.
Michigan, then Michigan State, at Maryland,
Penn
Minnesota,
State might be a bloodbath.
Northwestern, USC. We'll see what USC looks like. UCLA at UCLA. Nico, I'm gonna be hesitant to, you know, get into that business. We'll see what it looks like. But then at Penn State and Iowa, at home to end the year, they have a chance to win 8 or 9 games if everything
sure
sort of swings right for them.
Sure.
And I believe in Matt Rhule. I truly do.
I do too.
I've seen his Temple teams. There's a certain toughness and an aspect to physicality that he brings. And I want to see it from Nebraska this year. So I'll be watching that game closely. Again, it'll be 8 p.m. against Cincinnati on ESPN. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, first of many appearances right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show with an exclusive interview. Ryan Silverfield joins the show before Saturday's game against Chattanooga. Stick around for that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.